Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning, everybody. Freedom 93, our home station. Glad you tuned in. We've got a great lineup for you. Kim Rivers, JT Burnett will be here talking about Imagine Tallahassee. Then we've got Tim Linnefelt with a Linnefelt Sports Report. Heather Thomas with another installment of Women to Watch. And then I've got Dave Barfield, local photographer. So stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Brought to you by Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive for accessories, detailing, and window tinting for your car or truck.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck.
Folks, the backup camera system has become a standard in most of the new vehicles, and you don't have to buy a new vehicle in order to have the safety and protection of the standard. Come in to Truck and Car Concepts. We can install a backup camera system that's going to give you the safety and protection for $399 and up.
Everything is here from A to Z.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
So here we are, folks, Saturday. A beautiful Saturday in Tallahassee. Cold weather this week, right? We've got JT Burnett, Kim Rivers with us, talking about Imagine Tallahassee, and Heather Thomas, Women to Watch. Let's see, who else? Dave Barfield, yeah. And going to learn a lot about Dave Barfield and his passion for helping Housing First Alabama Homeless Coalition. They are an amazing organization, kind of a clearinghouse, funding source for all of the other efforts made to try to help homeless folks. We'll find out what's got him all focused on that particular part of the world and that particular project that he's initiated. It's a photo book that's to be published here in a couple months, and it'll be a real winner, I think. I've seen some of the photos, and you'll be able to do the same on their website. Talk about that with Dave here in the second hour. We have had an interesting week, have we not? All kinds of stuff going on. Of course, MLK Day on Monday. Hopefully you were able to participate in some of those activities and celebrations going on downtown. And then, of course, we've had our bit of news about Governor Scott pledging $130 million to the Everglades restoration. That's a good thing. And, yes, the Civic Center continues to have problems with bats. Not the kind you swing, the kind that fly around through the air. Apparently there's a bat infestation they're trying to get a handle on over there. So, you know, like, what else? You can't make this stuff up. Am I right? So on a more personal note, something that came into our news desk via our Facebook page, there is still a search going on for an Australian Shepherd. It's his name is Breaker. Breaker is a male red merle Australian Shepherd. He has been lost since July. We're still looking for him. If you know anything, if you can help out, call Patty, or you can go to the Facebook page. You can call Patty at 232-3987. They have a Facebook page that's called Come Home Breaker. So we're trying to help out, folks. That's what we do here. Congratulations to Robin Looper. She was honored earlier in the week. Leon County School honored her as Buck Lake's, what was it? She was the employee of the year, right? So that's a kind of cool thing for her. Congratulations to Robin. Tallahassee Community Chorus is in concert, and they are doing so in relation to a specific project to help Alzheimer's patients. And so with that, the Tallahassee Community Chorus continues to be a vital part of contributing to the welfare of our community as well as to our entertainment. It's their annual Unity show that they brought to us this week. Well done, folks. Anyway, elsewhere in the news, I think what we have all been looking at of late is this business of sports. And we're on the eve of Super Bowl 48. Florida State football released its 2014 schedule. Tim is going to talk with us about that. But I'll tell you that all of the furor that's been released in relation to the rant that we got from Richard Sherman at the end of the NFC Championship game, Seahawks and 49ers. And if you're any kind of sports fan, it came up in your view without too much effort because it was all over the sporting news. But at the same time, it made it into some of the more mainstream or customary news sources. So it really became sort of this other story outside of the world of sports. And that has to do with whether or not his comments were over the top or were they inappropriate. People referring to him in very unflattering ways and, you know, posting on Facebook. But when, you know, you get him on the ball field and he's a warrior. And I found a lot of the remarks sort of hypocritical, to be honest with you. It just felt like, wait a minute, you know, we're celebrating this sport that is all about hand-to-hand combat in many ways. And yet we become sort of self-righteous when we start making judgments about somebody because they went off and you know, made comments. His remarks were all in relation to the fact that, you know, Crabtree, the offensive player for the 49ers, you know, and apparently had some history with old Richard, you know, and erupted. In the post-mortem analysis, okay, was it the best thing for him to have done? I think he's already said, no, it wasn't. You know, he's admitted that. But to go the other way and begin to, you know, launch our own diatribe and label this guy as a jerk or a moron or whatever else. I mean, I saw a lot of very unflattering comments. I just think we're guilty of doing the same thing. I think at that point we're sort of falling into that same sort of a pattern. That's my thought about it, folks. I just tell you that I think we worry many times and worry too much about too little, and we need to get back on the main game. And speaking of that, for this portion of the show, I want to tell you that we are pleased to have Tommy Tees as one of our sponsors. These guys work so hard every week, every day, taking care of their customers. Have you not done this? Tommy Tees is over there on Thomasville Road in Midtown. And it's a quick lube or, fast oil change kind of place. Tommy Tees will get you in and out with an oil change and a complete service package for under $22, something like that, $23. It's a great service, great value. But they're top ace mechanics. I mean, both Steve and John take care of their customers. So here's what I want you to do. Stop in this week. Tell them you heard it on Tallahassee Talks. Get your oil change. Get to know these guys. They are good for shocks and brakes and air conditioning, and I mean, just whatever you have need. They've both been at it their whole lives. I mean, they know everything about cars and so, or trucks. And so, do that for me, would you? Stop in at Tommy Tees this week and tell them Brian sent you. Listen, we're going to have a great show here in this next hour or so. We'll be with you, and I want you to stay with me. Hey, we've got Hannah Keating standing by with your events in a minute for this week.
Thank you, Brian. As usual, there are plenty of local events keeping us busy this week. The Donald L. Tucker Civic Center at the Florida State University presents Bring It On the Musical at 7:30 p.m. on January 27th. Inspired by the Bring It On film, this musical delivers an exciting fresh sound with explosive dance moves and aerial stunts. Tickets begin at $45 depending on your seating choice and are now on sale at the Civic Center box office. This Sunday, the Black Dog Cafe will end this month with an open mic extravaganza. Come listen to some local talent performing live music from 7:30 to 9 p.m. or simply stop in for a cup of coffee to check out the author lineup for next month. The Museum of Florida History has opened its latest exhibit, Ponce de Leon and the Quest for the Fountain of Youth. Travel 500 years back in time to explore the colonial history of Florida. Admission and parking are free. The museum is open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., Saturday from 10 to 4:30 p.m., and Sunday from noon to 4:30 p.m. Capitol Twirler Square and Round Dance Club will begin weekly square dancing lessons on January 27th for only $2 per person per lesson. The lessons will continue for 3 months and will be from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. at the Tallahassee Senior Center Ballroom. No partner required. Be sure to catch the final performance of The Fox on the Fairway this Sunday at the Theater Tallahassee. The show will begin at 2 p.m. Adult tickets are $20, senior tickets are $15, and student tickets are $10. To learn more about the plot of the show, check out their website at theatertallahassee.org. For directions, dates, and times of your events in a minute, be sure to visit the community page on our website at TallahasseeTalks.com for more information. With your events in a minute, I'm Hannah Keating.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here on a Saturday morning. We have in studio the very lovely Kim Rivers, who is graciously agreed to join us in this hour. We're going to learn all kinds of things about Imagine Tallahassee and what she has been up to. Oh, yeah, and she brought her little buddy, JT Burnett. He's here, too. Kim, I did that for your sake because I know that
Appreciate that.
Just feels so good, doesn't it?
Yes.
Thank
Poor
you.
JT, sir. That's it, Brian. Kick me to the curb on the first round. Thank you so much. JT Burnett, for your part, a substantial contributor to the welfare of Tallahassee. May I say that?
Oh, thank you, Brian.
The King Cabba is in studio with us, making sure that we stay between the lines. We're gonna talk with JT and with Kim. How are you guys?
Good, really good. Yeah.
Considering all you've been through, 2013, what a year!
Yeah, what a year!
Absolutely.
Sold a hotel. Made a few bucks, maybe. I don't know. Hard to say at this point.
Yeah, we're still doing the calculation to see if it's the minimum wage requirement.
Bills, man. Yeah, that's right. What was the sale on that? 28?
23 million.
23 million bucks. Who's counting? You know, 23 million. It's not bad. But like I say, if it cost you 30.
it's the hours that really you got to divide by.
Yeah. So, that's an interesting observation, and I'd love to get down that path, but I don't want to miss the opportunity to talk more about Imagine Tallahassee. And folks, if you've not been in tune with that whole thing, well, shame on you, because there's certainly been a lot of press out there, and Dave Hodges and all of us have been trying to keep you informed, not the least of whom has been Kim Rivers herself. Kim, were you the author of this whole enterprise? Was this your brainchild? Just say yes.
Okay,
take
sure.
Take credit. Why not?
I will tell you, it was definitely a group effort, for sure. Some of it, the conversations were happening in a lot of different places, and it was just fortunate that the timing was such that they converged at a very, I think, critical point in time relative to the efforts for the sales tax and blueprint.
And, okay, well, that sounds rather groomed in your response. What does that mean?
Well, I'll tell you that, really, JT and I, for a while, you know, just with our endeavors, we actually do a lot of our business outside of the Tallahassee area. And so it's given us an opportunity to travel to other markets. And in doing so, we've kind of always asked, you know, wow, you know, well, I wonder if Tallahassee could have X, or I wonder why. Yeah. What are the differences? Why doesn't Tallahassee have Y?
Right.
And so that, and then really we were at the Chamber Conference, not this past year, but the year before, and there was a gentleman from the University of Texas Austin, Professor Doggett, and he really just very blatantly challenged our community and said, this is the way that things are moving, and either need to innovate or or not, but that's a choice that this community
has. So for you, that was a bit of a wake-up, you think, or wake-up call?
I think for a lot of folks who were there, it was a bit of a wake-up call. And so we went back and literally researched what those other communities that he used as examples, what paths they had been on, and how they got on that path. And that was really the start for us of the Imagine Tallahassee effort.
If you're on your computer right now, or you have access to a computer, you should go look at their website while we're talking. That's imaginetallahassee.org.com.
Yep.
Okay, so imaginetallahassee.com. Get in on this conversation. That's been my concern, is that, you know, we got people over here that are just running 50,000 miles an hour trying to make it all come together to initiate conversation, to have more discussion. And gosh, you know, you got most of Tallahassee kind of sitting around, not even plugged into that. So you really need to take the opportunity, because honestly, folks, I think, and this is editorial on my side, but we're at a crossroads, and I think that these kinds of opportunities don't come along all the time. You know, JT's getting older now, and I mean, and, you know, and he's got other things he's got to do. You know, trips to Africa, and, you know, Costa Rica. You know, he's a busy man. He's got a lot of balls in the air. So you want to jump in on this and be a part of the conversation at the very least. And there's so many ways that you have made that possible with your efforts. And I shouldn't just pick on the two of you,
right?
Because there's been a lot of people involved in making this happen. I think you told me earlier that you had something like 45 groups, all of whom got involved in sponsoring or hosting the Meeting in a Box. Tell us about Meeting in a Box.
It's actually a really great tool, and I'm hope that it won't just remain within the Imagine Tallahassee organization, because I think it's a really great way to connect with neighbors and fellow citizens in Tallahassee for all kinds of reasons. But it was a tool where basically we said, you know, this is great to have just an organized meeting where someone has to come to an event on, say, at 5:30 on a Monday. But how can we meet people where they are? And so it just was taking that same format and just bringing it to individual organizations. So it could be your book club. It could be, you know, your Rotary group. It could be, we had groups as small as I think 5 or 6 up to groups. I think the largest group was about 100 folks. And so it was a really unique way to, again, meet folks where they were and get them to participate. We had a great response for
that. So rather than dragging them to your meeting, you bring the meeting to them.
Exactly.
And it's within their wheelhouses, in their frame.
Yep.
JT, you are, for those who don't know JT Burnett, as much as I do, and I consider myself a very close personal friend of JT Burnett's, as a matter of fact, although he doesn't see it that way. But, you know, I try to use that everywhere I go. I mean, I drop the name, and you know, I'm a friend of JT Burnett's, and, you know, that kind of gets me into certain restaurants and stuff like that.
But, you're in trouble.
Yeah, but not shoeless by any means. We know that. But so here is JT, who's born in Monticello, Florida, and you've said of yourself, nothing particular spectacular about your upbringing. In fact, there were some things about your personal history that were sort of disheartening. I think you mentioned on the, earlier on the show here a few months ago, we talked about your dad being in prison until you were
16.
You know, and so if you think this is a guy who kind of had it all handed to him, ain't the case. And I think for a lot of us who find inspiration in that, it reemphasizes this do or die sort of determination. And that's sort of where I get that from the whole Imagine Tallahassee effort. It's like, folks, you know, we got a lot of things we could be doing, but for our part, we want to invest our time and our money in this particular effort,
And it's not for the short term, is it?
Absolutely not.
Do you feel like the time has been worthwhile thus far?
You know, it's one of those things you go back and question every day, but absolutely. I mean, I think what's happened, you know, I look back at my life and I just kind of look at, you know, what really got me where I am today. It's listening to other people and listening to a broad group of ideas and not thinking that I'm the dictator or I've got the best idea, and really opening up, and not even that this one small group has the best idea. I'm really willing to listen to anybody. I mean, Kim gets aggravated all the time. Somebody can randomly call me with an idea. I'm going to listen to them. I'm going to give them a shot.
Yeah.
And you never know. You never know. And I think this conversation was about broadening that conversation and bringing people in. And no matter what, some people can say, well, you know, maybe it's the same group that showed up, but here was the difference. The silos went down and they started talking to each other.
Yeah.
Before, you had the group show up, and there's all these segments, and now they're talking to each other.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We're talking this morning with Kim Rivers, J.T. Burnett, about Imagine Tallahassee and all kinds of Tallahassee imaginations. You stay with us.
Time to check out our buddy Joe over at Truck and Car Concepts. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, what's going on with you guys?
Well, here's the deal. I heard that you were gone all day as you were out tinting a house.
Yes, sir. His customer was having a big heat problem on the west side of the house in the afternoon. We went over, did the estimate, decided to do the east side of the house as well. Let me tell you something. We knocked out 79% of the heat energy, which is going to totally knock down the electricity bill. Not only that, but she had some really nice paintings that were fading out in the living room. 99% ultraviolet ray elimination.
So it would fade out like carpets and drapes and furniture and stuff?
Not only that, but it also fades out those expensive hardwood floors. So window filming the house is nothing but a plus. Like I said, it comes and it takes down the heat energy, and that's, you know, bottom line.
So even though the place is called Truck and Car Concepts, you could throw a house in there too.
We can do houses, planes, trains, or automobiles, man. If it's got glass, we tint it. Truck and Car Concepts. 656-8800. Give us a call. I will try not to sing out of key.
Yeah. Oh, baby, so we're talking with J.T. Burnett, Kim Williams, and Kim Rivers. And maybe Kim Williams waiting in the hall by the time we get through. Who knows? Good morning, Kim. Hope you're listening. We have been talking a little bit about Imagine Tallahassee, about some of the facts involved. Particularly the most encouraging part for me is to find out that, in fact, there were a lot of people from a lot of different sectors of the community, not just what has been dubbed the same 500 club kind of thing, but
right.
People who came out and said, you know, I think I have a good idea here. Mm-hmm. How are those ideas then being transmitted up the line?
I would definitely encourage folks to go to the website. Mm-hmm. We have, it's one of our main kind of tenets has been full transparency on mm-hmm. the process. And so included in the website, you're going to find a report that literally lays out all of the feedback that we have gotten from all the different events that we've held, how that was assimilated, combined into a draft vision statement, which we then got feedback back from the public on, to five strategic directions, which we then got feedback on, and then how the kind of suggested project list was formulated. So basically, if someone had an idea, it was definitely accounted for, number one, so they will be able to see their idea and see that it was recorded and see how it fed into the process, which I think is really important. So it wasn't just, you know, oh, that's a great idea, but we don't like that one. So we're going to, right, we're not going to necessarily, you know, give credence to it. So that was very important. And I think that one of the things that I was most, I guess, you know, heartened by is that just the diversity of the folks that we had come out. We did some demographic polling at each of our locations, and also with the feedback that we received from the meetings in a box. And it really is it is in line with our demographics as a community. And so we had the racial diversity, the age diversity, the education diversity, the zip code diversity. And so that also was I think encouraging, just in the fact that our community really seems like they are poised for this conversation and they are hungry for it.
And that was always at the heart of this as an outcome, was to be able to pull ideas from all different sectors and sides of the community and then present the community with a sort of position paper or a sort of summary of, here are the best ideas that have come forward. Is that right?
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, just really getting from the community, okay, you know, and I go back to JT, you know, really likes to talk about this spot on the wall. What is our spot on the wall collectively? And, you know, when you talk about these, you know, strategic directions, they cross-cut. They cross-cut a lot of different sectors and a lot of different ideas. When you talk about, you know, empowering an entrepreneurial ecosystem as one of them. And I will tell you, that was popular among, I hosted a meeting in the box with, I think it was 10 or 12 African-American males from the ages of 45 to 65. That was a prime topic for them. And then I hosted one with the League of Women Voters, and it was a topic for them. And so it's just, it's really interesting. And I think I mentioned it to you before, Brian, that our commonalities and, like I say, just our poise for, you know, innovation and really taking this community to that next level. We're a lot more together on that than I think folks think that we are.
Indeed. And it does sort of fly in the face of what might be stereotypic thinking about Tallahassee, right?
Right, absolutely.
Why is it, in your mind, why is it so critical, do you think, for us to make these moves at this time? Are we at a sort of crossroads, do you think?
I think so. I think that it's, and you know, JT and I commented on that throughout this process. We're at a crossroads, I think, in a couple of ways. I think first that folks are willing to sit at the table together. And I think that that's one of the silver linings of the recession that we're, you know, hopefully coming out of, is that folks started to realize, okay, I can't necessarily just look internally for my solutions. I need to look externally as well. And it does, that kind of old adage of it takes a village, is folks are opening up to that notion. And so when you have the university and TCC presidents willing to converse with one another, to strategize with one another, and you have Leon County Schools, and they're talking about curriculums and how they can blend that from a K through 12 into our community college and then our higher education. I mean, that is something special. So also the fact that we have had some major shifts in positions around the community on some of those you know, major stakeholders and different perspectives there, and folks that maybe want to just have a different viewpoint and say, I'm open to having a conversation with my colleague. I don't look at that necessarily as a threat.
Yeah. Some have criticized the effort in saying, well, it's just, you know, some very powerful people involved who, and not just yourselves, but a lot of other folks involved in the process of this, saying, well, you know, I mean, they're developers and they're realtors and they're business people, and it's all about them enhancing their ability to make money. How would you reply?
I think that that's an interesting,
right?
I think that's an interesting perspective. I think that, well, one of the things I think that we should all be focused on, quite frankly, is enhancing the Tallahassee experience and prosperity for as many folks as possible. One of the, I think it's one of the great ideas that came out of this effort is, and it was a collaboration between President Murdoch at TCC, Meg Baldwin, who was a representative of the nonprofit arena, and then Jim McShane, who's with Workforce Plus. And one of the projects is actually focusing on how to, one, assess our workforce needs for the future to make sure that we are planning those gaps in workforce, and we're providing training specifically to meet those gaps. And secondly, having the Center of Excellence to execute on what that assessment comes back with. And thirdly, to literally target folks who are underemployed in our community. So folks who have been out of work for 6 months or longer, who, you know, maybe are back from the war and find themselves in sort of this economic limbo. How do we raise up all of our citizens so that they are productive members of our society? So that project is called Raising the Ship. And so those types of collaborations,
rising,
like I said,
floats all boats.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, the fact that we've got a university, I mean, our president of our community college collaborating with not only Workforce Plus, but then with the nonprofit community, I mean, that is such a unique I think, formula for a really exciting, so I hope that folks realize that the goal was not just on let's build more shopping malls by any stretch. Mm-hmm. It's how do we holistically approach our future, and particularly with respect to economic development.
Talking with Kim Rivers here about Imagine Tallahassee with her good friend and ours, JT Burnett, has joined us. We're in studio this morning. Hope you are having a good time tuning in. Don't forget, you can always find us on our website there, TallahasseeTalks.com, where we keep on file forever every show we've ever broadcast, much to the dismay of Mr. Burnett, because I think in his prior appearance, there was some sort of wagering going on about the future of Florida State football, but no, I'm just kidding. But in fact, there is for you then that opportunity. If you want to share this broadcast today, you can do so. Just send them the link, and it'll be there available anytime, day or night. You stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
I'm Emily Brown with this week's IMAX UMAX update. This weekend, from downtown Tallahassee, you can be transported directly to Middle Earth. On the area's largest screen, come see the second in a trilogy of films adapting the popular masterpiece The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien. The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, is now playing in IMAX 3D at the Challenger Learning Center. If you, like a hobbit, prefer to eat six meals a day, we've got you covered. Our affordable and delicious concession items will not leave you hungry. If sci-fi is more your speed and you still haven't gotten the chance to see the heavily Oscar-nominated film Gravity yet, you still have the chance to find out what the hype is about. Gravity is also now playing at the Challenger Learning Center IMAX Theater. For showtimes and more, visit ChallengerTLH.com. With IMAX UMAX, I'm Emily Brown.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. But I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400, because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra, extra deep cleaning that you probably would do. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Mary Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at marymaids.com.
So if you've just joined us, here we are on this beautiful Saturday morning. We have the lovely Kim Rivers and the ever more lovely JT Burnett. Looking good, man.
First time I've heard that, Brian.
Oh, well, yeah. Hopefully the last. But so what keeps you fired up these days? You sold your hotel. You got nothing else going on? I mean, what?
Yeah, I'm just bored. You're just sitting around twiddling my thumbs, nothing to do.
Vince trying to come up. Tell us about this thing, the startup grind. What's that all about?
That's actually more Vincent Hunt. The startup grind is a Google start. Yeah, that's his deal. It's basically a Google sponsored event.
Okay.
I mean, I tell you what, I think that whole community moving within our community, the entrepreneurial community, is really amazing.
Pretty cool stuff.
Pretty cool stuff. I mean, I think even with like Imagine Tallahassee, if you look in 2025, 50% of the workforce are millennials. Mm. Okay. I'm an Xer. I'm 36. Mm. I'm not a millennial, mm-hmm. right? I don't even represent that group. And I feel very fortunate to have a very diverse group of friends all the way from very young people to, you know, most
like
of
me.
My – yeah, right, like you, Brian. Mm. You're my youngest friend, mm-hmm. you know.
I'm not sure how to take that.
You know, but seeing that, you know, there's this shift in what a network looks like, the org chart moving forward – doesn't look like the org chart today. Mm-hmm. It's not this siloed process. Mm-hmm. I mean, kids today don't even see those boundaries anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at how Tallahassee's changing. I mean, we've got roughly 5,000 to 6,000 student housing units that were currently out mm-hmm. near Capitol Circle. Now we're all moving back in. Mm-hmm. I mean, this community's changing. People's idea of what they want are starting to change. They don't want 3 acres outside, way outside of Capitol Circle anymore. Now they're looking back at Benton, and they're looking at coming back
even
in.
Even downtown.
Yeah. So, you know, what the workspace looks like in the future is not what it is today. And we've got to start preparing for that. And I think bringing everybody together and breaking down these silos is that people are starting to recognize this.
Well, and you both have for your own part investments in the community, personally and professionally? You both are entrepreneurial in nature, I think would be a fair statement. You certainly have a vested interest as business owners, but I get that there's something else pushing at you. This isn't just about dollars and cents, otherwise you could be sitting back on your plantation, you know, just kind of counting it in and then flying off to some distant land.
Right.
You guys are down there in the trenches, and that does beg the question, you know, what fires you up, Kim? Where do you go for, because you're not a native. I mean, this is not your hometown, is
right.
it?
No, I was born and raised in Jacksonville, and then I came here for school.
Yeah.
At Florida State.
So what is it? How did you get excited about trying to help Tallahassee find its spot on the wall, we said?
I mean, I think for both JT and I, that's a really simple question to answer, in that we've got, you know, a 4-year-old and a 2.5-year-old. And so, you know, when I look at Andrew, and we're about to start talking about kindergarten choices and what have you, you know, I want him to have an opportunity here. I want him to say, you know, yeah, I'm going to absolutely consider Tallahassee as a place that I choose to have my business.
What do you find most encouraging then about this whole business that you're in? The business of helping us find our way.
Well, I think that just, again, I think just the breadth of ideas and the diversity and the excitement and enthusiasm that we have seen from our neighbors and our fellow citizens, just that folks are just so incredibly passionate about Tallahassee and so want it to be you know, even better. And that's something that JT and I mean, in our business philosophy, right? It's, you know, you can only stand still for so long,
right,
before you get run over. And
right.
So it's really, you know, just the fact that folks seem to have that entrepreneurial spirit almost
right.
as a community now. And that's been really great. And I mean, for folks we work with, we're involved in a project called Stadium Runner right now, where we have college students who are working with
I've
us, you know, every
okay.
day. And so just for them to be excited about it and engaged, that's
mm-hmm.
certainly a shift, because when I was in school here, we certainly didn't look beyond our, you know, classroom walls.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What do you find most discouraging?
I think that the discouraging part would be that just, and I think you touched on it earlier, is just how to continue to bring folks under the tent into debunk, I guess, the negative thoughts that we've heard, that this is just the same old, and just to say, you know, if it is or if it isn't, you're never going to know unless you participate in the conversation. And so, when even if you disagree completely with the outcome, come and give us your thoughts, and then have an opinion as to that outcome.
Right. If that's the case, does it support this idea that I'm guilty of harping on, this plantation mentality is what I've dubbed it, and that is that sort of, this is my turf, these are my people, these are my toys, you know, you go play on your side and I'll stay over here on my side, and if we happen to meet along the way, so be it.
Right.
Just don't get in my way and I'll stay out of your way. I mean,
yeah, I think, you know, again, and I would again encourage folks to go and look at what we've come back with so far, because I think that when you start to delve into the details of you know, some of these project ideas, you're going to see a lot of cross collaboration. You're going to see a lot of different ideas and communities represented, and I think that alone, hopefully, folks will say, "Wow, this is something different. This isn't just the same old that we've seen before." And then I think that also, though, in terms of that plantation mentality, I think that it's hard because, you know, it's a community that literally has roots in that mentality. So we're talking about a culture shift that has to happen over time. But I think that what you're seeing is folks starting to understand that we can protect our heritage and be proud of where we came from to a certain extent, or at least be aware of where we came from, which I think you lose some of humanity if you forget that. But we can also move forward and innovate. And those two ideals can coexist in a very positive and proactive and non-threatening way.
Do you think that in-migration is part of that process? Where, example, Scott Burkhart, who's Dr. Burkhart, who's with the Tallahassee Orthopedic Clinic, was on the show recently. He's a neurological psychologist. Okay?
Right.
So he's working with Dr. Van Landingham over at the university.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
treating concussion.
Yep, yep, yep.
Okay, so he chooses then to come to Tallahassee. Okay, Darko Bukarets, who's the new director for the symphony, he's up there in Missoula, Montana,
right,
and decides he wants to be a part of Tallahassee.
Right.
These are the creative class that we've all been so frothing about over the last several years. Seems like it's happening.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, actually, there was a study that came out in Tallahassee, which I don't know why we don't, have this on a billboard somewhere. We're number 11 in creative cities.
If you'll pay for the billboard time, I've got it available.
I mean,
write me a check. We will get it
exactly
up there this afternoon, Kim.
But it's, we think we're so far behind the eight ball, but we're really, some of this is really just, coalescing these assets and ideas, and really, we have a lot to be proud of and excited about. But we have the talent here. And we're just, like I said, we're just right on that tipping point.
I think so too.
To really blow it up to the next level.
Well, folks, I don't know, JT, you've been so kind in keeping your comments to yourself.
Surprising.
Well, you get Kim and I going. Good God.
You guys are doing a great job.
It's like, thankfully, we don't take calls here because we'd never get out of here. But, folks, we've had some fun. I hope you have, talking about Tallahassee and its current state of the state or state of the city and Leon County and North Florida and all that it means. Never enough time, but we'll certainly want to drag these folks back in here when we can. We didn't even get to talk about Stadium Runner, but I know that wasn't necessarily the point today. But that is a neat little example of a piece of software that could really make ordering popcorn at a ball game a lot easier, shall we say.
Sure.
So next time we have you here, we'll let you pitch us that idea and any other neat stuff you got brewing, huh?
We got plenty of that coming.
Well, I'm looking forward to having you back. JT Burnett, Kim Rivers, in our conversation about Imagine Tallahassee. And again, if you have not done so, go to their website, imaginetallahassee.com. And you'll learn a lot more about all that we've been in conversation about this morning. Kim, thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for having us.
JT, always a pleasure, sir.
Brian, thank you.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. You stay with us.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We have in studio the very famous Tim Linnefelt, the Linnefelt Sports Report. Is on the air. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing great, man.
We are talking today about a couple of things. Of course, Super Bowl 48 is up and running, up ahead, and they will be running here in a week or so.
Yeah.
Let's see, what is the date?
February 2nd.
2nd.
Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day will be Super Bowl 48, Seahawks and the Broncos squaring off in that contest. Lots to talk about there. And, of course, earlier this week, on Wednesday was the release or announcement of the 2014 schedule for Florida State football.
That's right.
So what do you think of that schedule?
I think it looks pretty favorable for them. More interesting than last year. Last year we went into the season thinking that it wouldn't really have very many highlights in it. And then the fact that Jameis Winston was doing what he did and the team did what they did sort of made it interesting. But this year, you've got the season opener against Oklahoma State. In Dallas, you've got Clemson, Notre Dame, and Florida coming to Tallahassee, and then an intriguing Thursday night visit to Louisville. So it should be a pretty interesting slate.
In that first, and it kind of rolls this way, but in that first three games, you got Oklahoma State,
You've got
the Citadel. It'll be the home opener. And then they actually have a week off before before they play Clemson. And, you know, that's kind of an interesting thing. Hmm. I know a lot of people, myself included, have sort of started pushing for the ACC to maybe put that FSU-Clemson game later in the year.
Right.
But they refused to do that. So so now, you know, for the second time in 3 years in Tallahassee, Florida State will play Clemson in September. And if recent history is to be believed, then that means the Atlantic Division and the ACC will essentially be decided before the first month of the season is out. But that's okay.
Yeah.
And the good news for Florida State that we should mention is that they do have an off week before Clemson, and that's something that they always kind of like to have. They'll play they'll play two games, then they'll be off for a week, which is kind of strange.
It is strange.
And then they'll come home and they'll play Clemson at home.
Okay.
So if you're going to play Clemson in the early in the year, you at least like to have 2 weeks to prepare for them.
Yeah. Well, and Louisville is on the schedule. That's kind of different too, isn't it?
Well, yeah. And this is Louisville's first year as a member of the Atlantic Coast Conference. We're saying goodbye to Maryland and hello to Louisville, which a lot of people think is kind of an upgrade. And I agree. And so that should be an interesting game. It wouldn't be not quite as interesting as it would have been had Louisville's coach Charlie Strong and quarterback Teddy Bridgewater not both decided to take it on down to the University of Texas and the NFL respectively.
Yeah.
But it still should be an intriguing game. That's an interesting place to play, a tough environment, and long time, but Florida State fans certainly remember in 2002 the rain-sogged overtime game that FSU played at Louisville and ended up losing, kind of one of the I guess precursors to some of the darker days that sort of led to the changes that everybody's now enjoying. So if it'll be a first visit since that game, which is, as I play in my mind, really difficult to believe that it was 12 years ago. but there it is.
We were just little kids.
Yeah. So it should be a really interesting game. And it's FSU's return to the Thursday night games. They didn't have a Thursday night game last year. Mm. And that's always kind of dreaded by FSU fans. But they'll do that, play on the road on a Thursday at Louisville. And that should be a fun one. And then, you know, Notre Dame coming here is always special.
Wow. That'll be very special. And, you know, it's interesting to step back a minute and consider how the second half of this season for 2013 played out for them. Mm-hmm. With all the controversy swirling around Jameis and the national press focusing in on the other things that had nothing to do with football.
Right.
And then the final game was almost sort of a metaphor for that whole thing. Because we're all worried about the game until about the last 2 minutes.
You know, and in a way, I guess that's kind of true. I didn't really think about that.
The fact that, you know, by the third quarter, Florida State fans are apoplectic, you know.
Yeah.
And then Jameis was like, hey, I got this. Yeah. Don't worry. It'll be okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for those critics who said you know, I think Gerald Inslee wrote this article that said, well, forget it. He ain't going to win the Heisman. He turns around and wins the Heisman anyway.
Yeah. That might have been a touch premature. But,
just a bit there.
You know, but he certainly wasn't the only one, though.
I think he has outwitted a lot of folks. I think he, not intentionally trying to craft that, but I think the man is so capable. And I think you've even made that observation that, you know, some people just do better under that last-minute sort of pressure, right?
Absolutely. And you know, I think that's been Jameis to a T. You know, his best performances came in his debut in a nationally televised audience. Of course, he was spectacular at Clemson, you know, battle between top five teams, national audience. And then in the BCS championship game, you know, obviously those first two and a half, three quarters were rough. But when you had to have it, he delivered.
He delivered.
And that's, you know, that's the mark of.
Well, and that brings to mind another little matchup that we saw in the NFC championship game with a certain team near and dear to my heart.
That was a nice segue.
And so here we have the Seattle Seahawks playing in the NFC championship, playing the 49ers. And again, you know, right down to the wire.
Yeah.
And, you know,
Richard Sherman.
Sherman decides to step up there and tip it away, and Smith catches it, and end of game.
That was a heck of a play.
Amazingly. And, of course, then all the focus goes on all of his post-game diatribe and, you know, his rant and such.
Thought it was great, by the way.
You did?
Oh, I loved it. Loved every minute of it.
Why?
Just because, you know, I've spent enough time talking to athletes who tell me that we're just trying to do what coach says and take it one game at a time and yawn. That when an athlete actually conveys his true feelings and emotions and his excitement because he just made the biggest play of his career to go to the Super Bowl, I think it's great. And I think that all the you know, the wringing of hands and gnashing of teeth and all that going on this week. It's just going to discourage that in the future, and I don't like that.
I happen to agree with you. It felt to me, and I had to question whether I was just biased because I'm a Seahawks fan.
Yeah,
but, but I started doing a little digging on this guy. He's very smart.
Oh, he knows what
he's doing.
Graduated
second in his class.
Mm-hmm.
He's a graduate at Stanford.
Yeah.
Cooks out every weekend and invites all the neighborhood to come and eat there at their house kind
yeah.
of stuff.
Yeah.
Just a nice guy.
Seems like it. You
but
know.
Yet you got these people posting that he's a thug and what a jerk and yeah. yada yada. And I'm thinking, I don't know, that just feels a little self-righteous. And by the way, aren't you engaging in the same kind of trash talk that you're so upset about him doing?
Sure. And, you know, again, like
I
it's, I just, you know, we hype up the idea that, you know, Seahawks 49ers is the biggest rivalry in
right.
sports and there's no love lost
yeah.
and these two teams don't like
yeah.
each other.
Yeah.
And he essentially comes out and says, hey, I don't like these guys.
Yeah, right.
And it's, oh, the
we're
horror.
All shocked. Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, we tell them something and then when they agree with us, we get mad.
So now here we go into Super Bowl 48 and the game is changing. I mean, that I should put it that should put it this way that it ain't the same sort of matchup because
no.
here we have the best, arguably, or one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history.
Absolutely.
And certainly the AFC Championship Broncos.
Yeah.
You know, it seems to me that this is going to be a different kind of game. But here you have the number one defense going up against
the number one offense.
Number one offense.
Yeah.
And Mr. Manning is going to have a few things to say about how that defensive lineup tries to pick him off.
It's gonna be really really interesting.
You got any favorites in this situation?
Me? Well, see, I kind of go. I can see it from both angles.
Yeah.
Usually, in a situation like this, I think that the team with the better defense, with time to prepare, has the advantage over the team
right.
Based on the offense. Now, the other side of that is, man, Peyton Manning's really really good, and he's really tough to defend. But
because he can read those,
sure, and well, yeah. and he's just good, man.
And
I mean,
make those
he's,
adjustments on the fly,
right?
Yeah.
The wild card in this, if we get a chance to get to it, I think it's going to be the weather. This game's being played in New York, well, New Jersey officially.
Yeah.
It's played in Giant Stadium in New Jersey on February the 2nd. It's going to be cold. There's a decent chance it's going to be snowing. Visibility might not be so good. Not great conditions for offensive football. So,
okay.
You know, theoretically, if the conditions are poor and most of us expect them to be. Does that favor Seattle? Maybe yeah. it does.
Tim Linnefelt, the Linnefelt Sports Report, with us here this morning. Thanks, Tim, for being with us. If you want more information, you can go to our website. We're going to post that Florida State football schedule for you, and we'll have some comments from Tim there at TallahasseeTalks.com. Hey, and don't forget the Osceola Magazine this week releasing their 2013 commemorative edition. Osceola is out there and available for you. So be sure to go to our website. You can learn more about where you can find a copy of the Osceola Commemorative Edition celebrating Florida State football for 2013. Tim, thanks for being with us.
Anytime, man. Thank you.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Good morning. Thanks for joining in on another segment of Tallahassee Woman Magazine's Women to Watch. I'm Heather Thomas, editor of Tallahassee Woman, and I'm pleased to have Summer Brooke Gomez with me, who is a frequent editorial contributor, and her article, Family Time is Now, Five Fixes to Break Technology's Spell, is in the current December-January issue. Summer is the social media director for the Florida Association for Marriage and Family Therapy, and a doctoral candidate in marriage and family therapy at Florida State University. And she has over 15 years experience in the mental health field. She's a native of Miami and has lived in the Tallahassee area for over 13 years with her husband, Dr. Joe Anson. It's great to have you on the show, Summer. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
In the current issue of Tallahassee Woman, the theme of making the connection fit well into trying to help families to become a part of what you called the engaged parent or partner movement. Can you explain what it means to live an engaged life when it comes to our families?
Well, yeah, it's actually a real kind of an exciting way to put it. But at the end of the day, what we're talking about is mindfulness and presence. That's the key. And what bringing mindfulness and presence in your life in an engaged way means, well, first and foremost, it has to do with establishing your priorities. That would mean deciding what's really important to you. For most people, that's going to be the important relationships in their life, their friends, their families, sometimes their business colleagues and their professional ambition. Husband, wife is going to be an important one. And for a lot of people, it's God and their spirituality. And once you're clear on who you are, what your values are, what's important to you, engaged living, it means strategically managing distractions from those priorities. It means making sure that in the name of productivity, you don't actually get away from yourself and away from those priorities. And then the final thing I would say about engaged living is that it's not just about being mindful and present in a disciplined way for yourself. It's about being clear that the people you are connecting with hear you and feel that they are heard. It's about learning to confirm that the people you care about that you're interacting with actually get the sense that you're paying attention, that you're there, that you're listening, that you're present.
That really resonates, I'm sure, with a lot of the mothers out there. I know for me personally, my son Cooper has a artwork that I have stuck over my desk to remind me of that, of being mindful, because for Mother's Day he made this little, you know, crayon colored project, and all the ways that he loves his mom, the number one thing he put on there was, "She sees me." And I don't know if he meant it quite like how I'm taking it.
I love that.
But I do too. It just reminded me how important it is that I do take that time to really see him, you know, to really have that engaged connection with him. But yeah, that definitely is a good reminder, I think, for moms and families to, you know, the time is now that we have our children in our lives, which is a short time. But you're right, in any relationship, how important it is to stay connected. Now, you mentioned distractions. What are some of those distractions that might come up that take us away from being engaged?
Oh, distractions and temptations. They're myriad. There's so many, and it's an age-old story. People have been taking themselves away from their highest priority and their true self and their calling for decades and centuries and millennia. But one thing I like to focus on a lot, and that's the social media professional in me, is modernity, is our technology, our devices, one and the same, you know, our iPads, our iPhones, our computers, our emails, our 24-hour-a-day lifestyle, and the expectations that have only come upon us really very recently to be plugged into the hive mind, if you will, at all times. That's my favorite example of a distraction. And I guess I kind of take an all-hazards approach because I kind of think preparing for anything that would distract you from what you're clear your priorities are, you're going to use similar strategies that you tailor.
So really setting aside time for those technologies and then setting aside time for engaged life.
Yeah, and also having a clear sense of the fact that, you know, conveniences are there for our convenience. There, a good rule of thumb would be, I would say, to ask yourself, for example, with technology, are you using it to build new relationships and intensify real existing relationships more of the time? Or maybe more of the time, Are you letting it have a dampening effect on what's real in your life? And if the answer is the latter, you got some work to do. And that goes double if you're raising children or if you're trying to set an example. So many times in my own practice, I hear parents say, I can't get them to put the thing down. Well, you know, we got to walk the walk. We got to look in the mirror sometimes, too. If you're going to teach a principle, you have to try to live it. And that means regular undivided attention. That means maybe, for example, a practical idea would be a shut-off hour. When we're using modern technology, why we're using it, how we're using it. And it's really kind of a fascinating challenge of this generation of parents for me, that we have to teach our children, that the next generation, we have to shape their thinking about what that all means. And a lot of that really is very new. So again, it's one of my favorite examples of a distraction.
Well, I brought up so many great points, you know, because I, as a mom, I know I'm totally guilty of all of that. You know, and it is a challenge, I think, significant to our generation of parenting. Now, can we talk a little bit about couples as we head into February? What are some tips you can offer specifically to couples?
I am glad you brought that up. I had the opportunity to focus in the article on things that I thought were more universal, and definitely some of them are pertain more to couples, but the ability to expand on that, especially with Valentine's Day coming up, is...
Thank you, Summer, and I just appreciate, hopefully, you know, we've all learned a little bit more about getting connected to each other and to what really matters most in life.
Don't take multitasking too far.
That's right.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me today.
Oh, thank you. And be sure to check out the December-January issue and how to access our mobile interactive features by downloading the free Layer app and scanning the pages to get connected to videos, recorded interviews, and special coupon deals. In the next segment, I'll discuss Tallahassee Woman's first annual Women Who Mean Business Awards, with nominations being accepted beginning February 1st at talwoman.com. Until then, this has been Heather Thomas with Women to Watch.
Time to check out our buddy Joe over at Truck and Car Concepts. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, what's going on with you guys?
Well, here's the deal. I heard that you were gone all day as you were out tinting a house.
Yes, sir. His customer was having a big heat problem on the west side of the house in the afternoon. We went over, did the estimate, decided to do the east side of the house as well. Let me tell you something. We knocked out 79% of the heat energy, which is going to totally knock down the electricity bill. Not only that, but she had some really nice paintings that were fading out in the living room. 99% ultraviolet ray elimination.
So it would fade out like carpets and drapes and furniture and stuff?
Not only that, but it also fades out those expensive hardwood floors. So window filming the house is nothing but a plus. It comes and it takes down the heat energy, and that's, you know, bottom line.
So even though the place is called Truck and Car Concepts, you could throw a house in there too.
We can do houses, planes, trains, or automobiles, man. If it's got glass, we in it. Truck and Car Concepts, 656-8800. Give us a call. I will try not to sing out of key.
Yeah. Oh, baby, so we have in studio on this beautiful Saturday another very capable and contributive individual. Dave Barfield, local photographer, has joined us with news of an exciting project, or their heartfelt project. Dave, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
You're looking fine. Looking rather sporty. You've got your sort of, I don't know, what is that? A sort of a Celtic Irish look with the cap and the brushed cotton. I mean, you have that persona going. I mean, this guy is an accomplished, folks. I mean, let me just say, and without embarrassing too much, he's an accomplished photographer. 20 years in this business. Started when he was about 10, so you're now 30.
Right? Exactly.
And for the many years that you worked locally, I know you had a long time association with Ron Sachs, Media. And now you have a new sort of new gig, and you're working with Chucha Barber and Charlie Belbin, Impact Visual Media, is that right?
That's right, Impact Visual Media.
Okay, so folks, just trying to get you oriented to this guy. I'm getting to know you, and so, folks, what I've found so far is rather interesting and enjoyable. This is a guy who not only is an amazing photographer, and I've seen a good deal of his work. If you haven't, by the way, since we're doing this little preamble, take a look at this website. It's stories.thelonelyfox.com. Thelonelyfox.com. Stories.thelonelyfox.com. We're going to talk about those photos that you're going to see at that website, because that ties in directly with this project that Dave has really fostered. He's taken it upon himself to create this photo album project that is all intended, let's see if I get this right, is intended to raise money and awareness for Housing First Alabama, an organization that is sort of a watershed, a sort of a clearinghouse, porthole of funding for other homeless organizations, homeless coalition type organizations.
Correct.
In the state of Alabama.
Right, right.
Is that right?
Right.
Okay. So let's go. Let's start there, folks. Again, if you're on your computer, or if you can get to your computer, this would be a good time to take a look at some of these photos. They are compelling. And who are these people, by the way?
These are all homeless folks that, and let me just say that the Housing First Alabama, they do field work. So they actually go out and identify homeless people and then try and get them whatever services they need, be it medication, housing, whatever they can do. And so these are people, I went out with them. And let me just say that also that these are some of the bravest women that I have ever met. Because I say they go out with them, they literally drive down the road, see a place where some homeless encampment may be, and just march out there, having no idea what they're going to run into when they get there.
Which might not be quite savory, might not be quite welcome.
Huh? Right, right. You know, and some of these people, you know, there's some mental illness, so they can be combative, although it's not very common, is what they told me. But these people just go out, literally just find these people living in the woods or other places, and then do what they can do.
And they're doing that to be of assistance.
Right.
To try to bring to them whatever...
whatever they need. You know, because a lot of these folks need medicine, so they'll find out what medications they need and deliver them.
Now, how is it that you, being here in Tallahassee, got connected to this in Alabama?
Well, I actually lived in Pensacola for about 2 years up until about a year ago.
Oh.
So while I was over there, I got connected. This is real near Mobile, so I got connected with them while I was over there. And now that I'm back in Tallahassee, I'm continuing to work with them and trying to reach out to some of the homeless people.
This is a pre-existing relationship.
Right, right.
And then came this idea of you putting together a photo collection. How would you describe it?
It's a book. We're putting together a book of portraits of homeless people.
Wow.
In the area.
Like a hardcover?
A hardcover book that's going to be on sale. There's in some local bookstores have already agreed to carry it, and they're going to, nice. And all the profits for it are going right back to the Housing First.
Wow.
In addition to, we're also selling prints and that kind of thing.
So this is an ultimate labor of love.
Yeah.
How do you fund the cost of production? I mean, obviously, or do you have a relationship with a printing company?
I do have some relationship with a printing company, so we're going to see what we can do, basically. But at this point, it's basically coming out of my pocket, along with a little bit of funding from Housing First, whatever they can come up with. But
so if we wanted to contribute to the production costs, we could write a check to Housing First Alabama,
right?
And that could be earmarked for this project.
Right.
So, folks, you just heard it. I mean, I try to be subtle about these things, you know, but I'm just thinking, what a great project, and how nifty of you to take the skills that you have. And again, folks, this is a guy who's got some skills here, and put those to work in such a heartfelt effort. Is this you? Is this what you do? You just love people that much and care that much?
I think in the homeless is particularly close to my heart. I spent some time as a homeless teenager, so this is something that's just close to my heart. And I think it's very important. These people are at the very bottom of our society and are very often ignored or not seen as
the invisible,
as are seen as people. And if, you know, your listeners look at the website, you'll see these are just very simple portraits of these folks that try and show that these aren't, this isn't just a physical or a social problem. This is a personal, these are real people with real stories, and many of whom are vets, which I think is just atrocious that we have homeless veterans living under bridges.
It is indeed, and there have been some local efforts of worth to try to help. I know the local Legion Hall has been involved.
Right, right.
Their, what do they call it, Stand Down Friday, I think?
Yeah, the, yes, yes.
Where these folks just come, as you say, out of the woods.
Right.
They get haircuts and they get medical attention. And so that's sort of the notion here is to raise awareness, to declare that, yes, you are real people and here.
Right, exactly.
There's a photo of you in this book to demonstrate to people I
exactly
exist.
And a lot of these people feel non-existent and completely ignored, and this helps, and they feel good about telling their stories. And of course some of the stories are just unbelievable and terrible. But
is there a way for you to include those stories in the book? Is
that we are also, when I'm out with them, I also do audio and video interviews with them. So we'll transcribe some of the audio and put that in the book for each person.
That's fabulous. Folks, we're talking with Dave Barfield, local photographer, 20 years in this business, and has taken it upon himself to create this book of photos and stories about homeless people. Again, the website, stories.thelonelyfox.com, which is an intriguing title, by the way. Get into that a little bit. Stories.thelonelyfox.com is where you can go right now if you care to and take a look at that. You stay with us after the break. We're going to have Dave here to talk a little bit further. And don't forget our website, TallahasseeTalks.com, and we'll be posting information there as well about Dave's work and the work that he's doing with Impact Visual Media, Charlie Belvin, Tutu Barber, and company. Folks, it is a great day. We're glad you've tuned in. Stay with me.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. But I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400, because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra, extra deep cleaning that you probably would do. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Mary Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at marymaids.com. We're back and talking with Dave Barfield. Dave, you have aligned yourself with a couple of other very talented people. Charlie Belvin, what is that? Four Emmys that he's got to his credit, something like
so,
that.
I think so.
Four or five. I've lost count.
Yeah.
I just know that when I walk into the Belvin Studios, you know, here are these trophies, you know, there in the showcase. And Chucha Barber, who is known to a lot of folks for a lot of different
Chucha
reasons. You know, Mary Brogan included, and you know, her work in media and stage performance, all these many things that she's been involved in. And then you've come alongside to join up with them in this venture, Impact Visual Media. Is that the name of the company, right?
That is the name of the company, right.
So is this project of yours part of that, or did you have this going on before you got hooked up with Charlie and Chucha?
Well, I had this going on before I got with Charlie and Chucha, but they've certainly lent support to it, allowing me to travel over there, that kind of thing.
Right. How much time did you spend in the field getting all the photos?
I'm still doing that. We're still going out in the field to get the photos, but so far I've spent about a month, I think, going out with the team that that goes
so
out.
So you sort of tag along and
right.
wait to see what's going to come up.
Right.
Well, what happens next?
Right.
So how do you make that decision as to whether there's a photo-worthy situation, or do you not make that sort of judgment on site?
I don't make the judgments on site. I shoot when I get out there. I have the people tell me their stories to get comfortable in front of the camera, which I think is important. Rather than just going out and taking a photo, I want them to talk to me. You get a much more human photograph that way. And then when I get back, when I edit, is when I decide, okay, this is a very powerful photograph, or, you know, this one may not need to be included.
Okay. And so, folks, by the way, too, there's another website for you. I know I keep throwing all these at you. ImpactVisualMedia.com would be another great spot that you could take a look at and see more of what's going on there with these fine people. For your part, you have a personal edge to this, and you mentioned it earlier, as a teenager, being homeless for a period of time.
Right, right.
And with respect, I don't want to make this all about Dave Barfield and your story, but that has to be informative. You said that that's been a motivating factor. It's an idea that nobody has to try to educate you as to what that's like.
Right. I think that's why it's so close to home for me, is I understand the difficulties of being homeless. And I know that once you get to the point where you have no place to be, it's very difficult to get out of that place. Yeah. If you don't have any transportation or a place to take a shower, it's really difficult to get, you know, any kind of job. If you can't show up or you can't show up clean, then I just know that once you get there, it's really hard to get out of there without some serious help.
And that happened with you as a teenager, which I would think sort of makes that even more treacherous.
Right, right.
Because you're not, you know, prepared for such things. Not that anybody, I suppose, is. But as a teen, as opposed to an adult, you have to really toughen up pretty fast.
Yes.
And get streetwise. So for you, how did you get out of being not home, being homeless?
With help. I had some help from not any particular organization, but from people that knew me and wanted to help me get out of that situation. But I couldn't have done it without someone's help.
So in that respect, that's another reason for us to think in those terms, that it doesn't have to be inevitable.
Right.
It doesn't have to be without end. That there is a reason to think that if we give help, we give assistance, help these folks with the effort over there in Alabama, the Housing First Alabama organization, they really can make an impact.
Exactly. And these people, they don't really need a lot. Many of them already have jobs. Of course, many of them don't. But they don't need a lot, just some clean clothes, a place to shower. There's another organization that provides internet access. They can go during the day to try and find jobs. They just don't need a lot of help. They just need a little step up to get out of the situation they're in. And then, you know.
I remember a good friend of mine, Dr. Jack Golden, for his part, he's retired now, but for his part, arguably one of the most productive and probably contributive professionals in the field of psychotherapy, alcohol treatment, and such things for many years. I remember him saying to me at one time, he said, you know, we as a culture, we've turned our backs on those in need of mental health care. And because we have institutionally, we see this increase in homelessness. We see people out there who otherwise would have had housing somewhere provided by them, by either state, county, or federal funding, but it's just not there anymore.
Right.
And you mentioned that earlier, that there is a component or a segment of the homeless population that suffers with mental illness, makes them in many ways unemployable without treatment if they don't have the medication they need or the treatment they need of some kind.
Absolutely.
You find that to be the case, or is that stereotypic, do you think?
It's a little stereotypical. Interestingly enough, in Alabama, they actually have a really, really good mental health program. So what's interesting, what I found very telling and interesting, was that at least with this population in Alabama, there's not much mental illness, believe it or not, because they almost immediately identify those that need treatment and get them into treatment centers.
Yeah.
What amazed me, and I did not expect, was that almost all of the people that I have talked to so far are homeless for medical reasons. One of the saddest stories I've heard so far is a woman who's in her late 60s that has cancer. And what she told me was, why are you homeless? She says, I can either pay for my chemotherapy or I can pay for a place to live. I can't do both. So I'm choosing chemotherapy so I won't die. There's one woman who had to have an emergency hysterectomy and ended up being stranded in Mobile. It seems to almost all be medical problems that are causing this. But to get their name out there, make the homeless population as well as general population know that these organizations exist, I think is very important.
I know the folks over at Big Bend Homeless Coalition here in town would be echoing a lot of what you've said here this morning, Susan Porchot and company.
Right.
And we've had Susan on the show. We should probably do that again soon. Maybe we'll get the two of you hooked up together.
That would be great.
Yeah. Folks, this is how we like to do things here. We bring to you the most interesting, the most contributive people that we find in our day-to-day. And Dave Barfield is certainly one of those folks. What a great project. And Dave, what a great effort you're making. And folks, this is one of the good guys. So next time you see him over there, buy him an Irish whiskey. I'm sure that he wouldn't refuse it. And I might join you there. And we'll talk about the old days as we look forward to the completion of this project. What's the publication date anticipated?
We're hoping for March.
Okay, so we're looking for it, folks. That's what we have for you today. We are Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here every Saturday morning. 93.3 FM is our home station, Freedom 93 in Tallahassee. We're glad you've tuned in. Come back again. Talk with me some more. We'll be right here Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.